The letter was most unimpressive for three reasons. First, Conyers did not have a wife, or at least he said he didn't. A wife was crucial for extortion. Second, Al worked for the government, so he probably didn't have a lot of money. Third, Al was much too scared to waste time with. Getting information was like pulling teeth. The Quince Garbys and Curtis Cateses were much more fun because they had spent their lives in the closet and were now anxious to escape. Their letters were long and windy and filled with all the damning little facts an extortionist might need. Not Al. Al was boring. Al wasn't sure what he wanted. So Ricky raised the stakes with his second letter, another piece of boilerplate Beach had perfected with practice. Ricky had just learned that he would be released in a few months. And he was from Baltimore. What a coincidence. And he might need some help getting a job. The letter went unanswered, and Beach assumed that Al Conyers was frightened by it. Ricky was on his way to Baltimore, just an hour from Washington, and that was too close. While waiting for an answer from Al, the Quince Garbey money landed, followed by the wire from Curtis in Dallas, and the brethren found renewed energy in their scam. Ricky wrote Al the letter that was intercepted and analyzed deep inside Langley. Now, suddenly, Al's third letter had a very different tone. Finn Yarber read it twice, then reread the second letter from Al. "Sounds like a different person, doesn't it?" he said. "Yes, it does," Beach said, looking at both letters. "I think the old boy is finally excited about meeting Ricky. Let's keep pushing. He's got a big job, which means he's got a big boss, lots of colleagues, typical Washington hotshot. We'll find a pressure point somewhere." "What the hell?" Finn said. What the hell indeed. What was there to lose? So what if they pushed a little too hard, and Mr. Al got scared or got mad and decided to throw the letters away? You can't lose what you don't have. Serious money was being made here. It was not a time to be timid. Their aggressive tactics were producing spectacular results. The mail was growing each week, as was their offshore account. Their scam was foolproof, because their pen pals lived double lives. Their victims had no one to complain to.